Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Tuesday, February. Oh, no, it's not. It's March. March the 5th, 2024. It's the third week of Lent, and we are doing daily readings through the church calendar. And so today our readings are from Genesis chapter 45, 1 Corinthians 7, and Mark 6. Genesis, 1 Corinthians, and Mark. Good to have everybody on. Thank you guys for jumping in. Spend some time in the Word today. Man, it is allergy season. Man, I can feel it. Can feel it in my eyes and my throat, little sniffles. So I apologize in advance. Probably going to be some sniffs and throat clears here and there. So the most wonderful time of the year. But it feels like spring's on the way, though. Kind of does feel like spring is on the way. All right, let's dive in, y'all. Genesis chapter 45, you know we do. We read, we pray, change the world. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us today. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. This is still the story of Joseph and his brothers. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine pretty emotional scene, revealing to his brothers who he was and, you know, just all that had transpired over the years. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." Sorry, I missed the part. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." That God had a bigger plan. Like even what they meant when he will say that, right? Verse 6, "For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." It's an incredible perspective by Joseph, right? Incredible perspective by Joseph. First of all, he acknowledges, he doesn't bury under the rug the offense from back in the day, right? You know, you sold me into slavery. You know, let's call that for what it is, but let's move on. That happened. You did what you did, but I want you to see what God did through that. God had a bigger plan. He had a bigger vision, and he was working something that none of us could have imagined. So while what you did was not right, was wrong, God still used it in a miraculous way to save, literally to save their own lives. Isn't that ironic? They tried to kill him. God used him to save them. Man, you never know how God works, man. You know? It's the Romans 8:28 in the Old Testament. God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He works all the things, the bad things, the good things, everything. He works it all for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we see that illustrated here in the story of Joseph. Welcome, everybody. Great to see you guys on. Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, Trish. Good morning, Ann. So then, verse 8, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Wow. That's a bold statement. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks and your herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. Wow. Verse 12. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers walked with him. Wow, that's a that last phrase, right? Like what a sign of reconciliation and of reunion, right? Afterward, his brothers talked with him. They just sat there talking, like reconnecting. A huge reconciliation. I love the story of Joseph, man. It's awesome. It's an awesome story. let's jump over to the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 32 to 40. 32 to 40. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. Good morning, good morning, good morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 32 to 40. I would like you to be free from concern. Remember, Paul in this context is talking about, you know, what's better, to be married, not married, whatever. I would like you to flee from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. So again, that focus of when you're single and content, you have more bandwidth to focus on the Lord's work. That's what he basically just said. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. See, told you. That's that allergy stuff. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried man or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. That's the point, right? Undivided devotion to the Lord. Verse 36, if anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He's not sinning. Right? If you're in a relationship, you know, he's saying, if you're you're preoccupied with the passions of the flesh, get married. It will relieve those passions so you can actually focus on the Lord. this is very pragmatic, right? This is like practical. Like if you're like, all you can do is think about her or think about him and you can't get your mind off of it, off of them. And in some cases, it. Well, you know what I mean. You might as well go ahead and get married because you are of no use. you are of no use to the kingdom because you are a bit distracted, so to speak. So that's what Paul's saying. But if the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So again, if you're celibate and you're content, you're not sinning by not marrying. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, and he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. Marry a Christian, man. Marry someone who loves Jesus. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I, too, have the Spirit of God. And so he remembered, he started that whole conversation saying, this is not, you know, a revelation from God per se. This is my, what I think. This is my perspective. And so, he kind of wraps it up by saying, but I do have the Spirit of God. You know, I feel like the Spirit of God has given me some wisdom on these things. Yeah. It's interesting, though, because, Paul is very clear that he highlights singleness. He really does. I mean, he basically says that's better. And here's the point. It's better in the sense of devoted, the available time and focus that you can devote to the Lord. Obviously, when it comes to other things like having children and learning certain things about selflessness and spiritual maturity, there's things like that that you only learn in relationship with another person in marriage. In fact, marriage is a covenant that reflects the union between Christ and the church. So there is a spiritual reality that takes place in marriage that you don't see in singleness, but there are some benefits of singleness that you would not get in marriage. So they each have their benefits. Bad word. They each have their lessons to be learned. All right, let me move on. Oh my gosh, let me just move on. Mark, let's read the gospel before we bury ourselves in that. Mark chapter six. See what the Lord says in the Gospels, and hopefully today we're not rereading something we read like 4 days ago. If you were on yesterday, I had read the wrong verse a few days ago, and then was reading the same one yesterday. We're like, man, this sounds familiar. Yeah, you read it like last week, but we got some help, turned it around. So hopefully this is something we have not read in a little while. It doesn't look like it is. Mark chapter 6, 1 through 13. Hey, thank you guys for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Appreciate you just subscribing. That way you know every time we drop new episodes and new Bible studies. So, yeah, thank you for doing that and for liking and all that good stuff. All right, Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's the wisdom that has been given him? I told someone the other day, like a few weeks ago, remember, I don't know if I said it in a message or not, but I was talking to someone about how, you know, I've been at Bayside now 11 years. And when people say, you just keep getting better and better. It's very weird because I'm like, well, how bad did I start? Because I've been here for 11 years and I'm still getting better and better. I mean, how bad was it when it started? Like, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I'm going to be getting much better at this point. I feel like my growth curve is starting to taper. So, and literally someone said Sunday, you know, you're getting better and better. I'm like, oh man. It's like, I don't know. You're getting better and better. I'm not 25 anymore, people. I'm 53. You just keep getting better and better, young man. Hey, come on. I'm like, I don't know how much, you know, I don't know. Yeah. How bad did I start? I must have started deep and way behind the line. Anyway. So Jesus was teaching, though, and they were amazed. And they were like, where did he get these things? You keep getting better and better. At Jesus, he just keeps getting better and better. He's so wise. What's the wisdom that has been given to him? Excuse me. What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Interesting. So Jesus is teaching powerfully, and he's performing miracles. And so they see that on the one hand, but then they also see his very humanness, right? Isn't this just his brothers? Isn't he a carpenter? Like, isn't he, in many ways, isn't he just like everyone else? Isn't he, and it's really it's a beautiful kind of different kind of illustration of his, of the incarnation. He's performing miracles. He's teaching with supernatural wisdom. But isn't he just like us? He's got brothers and sisters. He's got an occupation. He was trained as a carpenter. Both of those are true. Yes. Fully God, fully man. That's the incarnation. He is God in flesh. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Isn't that true? Sometimes those, the people closest to you, are the last to see the unique calling that God has on your life. Sometimes they see it first, but sometimes they're the least likely to accept it. It goes, thinking about the story of Joseph, right, that we read, we started with reading the story of Joseph. Joseph had a very big call on his life, which he knew through the dreams, which we read together. But his family couldn't see that, right? He's got brothers just like us. Jacob is his dad, just like, he works the fields just like the rest of us. What makes him so special? And so sometimes when you're around that same old environment, or even that familiar environment, it's unappreciated. That's why pastors have a hard time. Like, you know, it can be difficult going, even pastors and leaders who kind of, you know, you try to, the church you grew up in, it gets difficult because you're always little Johnny. And Sister May over there, she changed your diapers in the nursery. So it's going to be hard for you to tell her, thus saith the Lord. She's like, little Johnny? Little Johnny who cleared the nursery? Who cleared the room? He up there talking about the Jesus? Who, I just kiss hard for me to see him that way. Little Johnny, who was a rascal in middle school, had the dirtiest mouth in the sixth grade. He up there talking about let no filth come from your mouth. It's hard, just hard for me. Yeah, sometimes a prophet is without honor in his own country. Because it's familiar, you know. I think a good lesson for us always is, even as Christians, even those, you know, it's sometimes you can get too familiar with things, and you don't appreciate it. That's true in relationships. That's true in spiritual things. It's you can take things for granted, right? Like, because you're so familiar with them, and you under appreciate how awesome it is. That's why it's awesome to be around new Christians, right? That's why it's so awesome to be around someone who's the things of God are new to them, because they bring a vitality, they bring an energy, they bring a new perspective, they remind us of how it looked to us when we first met Jesus, and we're like, yes, we see it again. It's like seeing the world through a child's eyes, right? Part of the reason things like the holidays and new experiences are so fun with kids is because it helps. We see it through their eyes. We experience it again for ourselves like we did when we were little. And that's what's awesome in the spiritual realm. When new Christians, we're around them and they're seeing new things and they're reading things in God's word and they're experiencing worship and they're experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all of that is like, man, stuff that we can so easily take for granted. Because it's familiar. And I just pray that we all today, you know, pray that our hearts are open to experiencing the presence of God in new and fresh ways. And that we never take God's presence, God's work for granted. But we always are like, you know, just like in the Message Sunday, you want to be great? Jesus took a little child and put them in the middle of the crowd and said, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to become like a little child. You've got to have selflessness. You've got to have childlike faith. You got to have trust. You got to have curiosity. I don't know exactly how you do this except for the Spirit of God in a humble heart. You've got to be willing to be wild. You know, you got to be someone who, no matter how old you are, you still can be like, wow, impressed in wonder of things. I pray we never lose that, man. And that's what makes the journey with Christ so beautiful. That's what makes life amazing, is to keep that wonder. And I know life can beat you up. You can become cynical. You can become hard-hearted. You can just get down, your head down in the grind, just try to make it through the day. I know. But what a great reminder just a great reminder for all of us to, man, cultivate that childlike wonder. When you see a sunrise, when you see birds singing on a spring morning, when you see kids playing, when you see the fellowship of people connecting and talking, when you see whatever it is, just keeping that wonder. Wow, this is awesome. And not to become too so familiar that it creates indifference. And that's what happened. They were so familiar with Jesus, they just had a hard time seeing him as the Son of God, frankly. And Jesus says that a prophet is without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Wow. I mean, that's what's interesting. I always chuckle a little bit when I read this, because like he couldn't do a whole lot for whatever reason except lay a hands on a few sick people and heal them. that's revival at most places. For Jesus, that was an off day. But for most places, that's like revival broke out. He laid his hand on a few sick people and they got healed. Man, please. They're gonna build a new tabernacle. Verse 6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him, and he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. So he gathered the 12, then he sent them out. Hey, Dan, what's up, man? Good morning. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So Jesus calls the 12. He sends them out to spread the gospel with basically just dependence on him, dependence on God and the hospitality of others to take care of them. They went out and preached that people should repent. That's the message. Where did they get that from? Jesus. That was Jesus' message, primary message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn from a self-centered life, a life centered on yourself, and reorient your life where God is the center of your life. That's what repentance is, to turn and go the other way. Go from a life that is centered on self to a life that is centered on God. And so every day, that's why we say that every day is a day of repentance. Every day is a day of repentance. It's a day of taking the focus of this day off of me and putting the focus of this day on God and his purposes and his pleasure. It's not about me and how do I, making me the center of all my decisions. I'm going to repent today and put God at the center of my life. It's a daily occurrence, man. That's what it means when Jesus talks about taking up your cross daily. You got to choose that cross daily, that it's not going to be about me. It's going to be about Jesus. It's about greatness. That's what Jesus taught us. Greatness is in serving. It's in pouring our lives out in obedience to God. So that's what the disciples did. They went and they went everywhere. They preached repentance. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Wow. God was using them. Jesus empowered them, not only sent them out, not only delegated, not only gave them responsibility, but also gave them power, as he does with us. Thank you guys for being on. Hey, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for my friends today. Thank you for the privilege of spending some time in your word. Thank you for all the good things you do in our lives. Lord, thank you for your blessing and your for loving us and for giving us power, giving us authority, giving us more than we ever deserve. Lord, help us not to become overly familiar that we don't appreciate all the blessings that you send and bring to our lives. Lord, may we always keep our awe and wonder at the beauty and the majesty all around us, because you are doing amazing things. Lord, I pray your blessings upon each and every person at the sound of my voice. May you encourage them and strengthen them. May they know how much they're loved and appreciated today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Hope you have a fantastic Tuesday. Thank you for subscribing to the YouTube channel. Appreciate that. It's growing, y'all. The YouTube channel is growing. Over 200 subscribers to the channel, so thank you. Let's keep it going. Appreciate you guys being on and sharing some time in the Word. Thank you guys for listening on the audio podcast. Hope you have a fantastic day. We'll be back at it tomorrow, continuing through our readings through the third week of Lent. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.